He will give you what? The very desires of your heart. So if he gives you the desires, those desires of your heart are probably desires he placed there. That's how I kind of see it. So there's something significant when we realize how much he loves us and how much he wants us to get gifts. Now, we celebrate Pastor Mike's birthday, and maybe he won't get any gifts of packages or whatever, but it's just the principle. We gave the gift of encouraging him on his special day, and you do for your loved ones and so forth. We have Christmas. What do kids always look forward to? The presents. Well, it's not by accident. They look forward to the rewards because we have been created in the likeness of Christ and the likeness of Abba Daddy, and that's not a bad thing. So I want to set this foundation today by telling you, as much as we love King David in the Bible, we know he did stupid stuff, right? We know he murdered. We know he had committed adultery. We know he wasn't perfect, but God said he had a heart after him. Amen? And that heart after him meant he was operating in this dimension that God has already put into his heart. And he's facing with his brothers, by him pretty much himself, because all he's doing is tending sheep. And he's coming to give his brothers some food and to look what's going on between Israel and the Philistines. And when he comes on the situation, he's pretty overwhelmed, and he gets to see this giant called Goliath. And Goliath is making fun and putting down all of his brothers and all the Saul's men of war. And this comes up in the conversation. And I'm going to begin at verse 25 of 1 Samuel chapter 17. So the men of Israel said, "Have you seen the man who has come up?" Talking about the giant. "Surely he has come up to defy Israel. It shall be that the man who kills him, the king is going to enrich them with great riches. He's going to give them the king's daughter. And then he's going to make his father not have to pay any taxes." I would say those are pretty good rewards. Now, the men shared that, looking for somebody, and David, I believe, was in listening mode, and he repeats, and he says this in verse 26, and that's what I want you to see. "Then David spoke to the men who stood by him, saying, 'What shall be done for the man who kills the Philistine?'" In other words, can I hear it again? I want to know, what do I get? I get riches, I get the king's daughter, and I also get no taxes on my family. In other words, it was not bad to look to rewards. Rewards are a blessing. And God, our Father, knows that. And that's why it's his good pleasure to give us believers his kingdom. So today, I want to talk to you about receiving these big time rewards. And I'm going to tell you right now that the most significant one, as I look through here, and I know most everybody that's here, I would say for the most part, you've already got this gift. Whether or not you're realizing it and you need to be encouraged, that's what I'm going to do this morning. Now, a lot of times, some of these scriptures that I'm going to share this morning, I use when I'm doing, let's say, a funeral service to try to encourage those not to be downtrodden and sad. In fact, many have told me that they connected with us because the only time they would come to a service was when we did a funeral, and the funeral was so encouraging, they thought they needed to come just to hear some more. Because it's about rewards and what God has promised. So I'm going to start with John, the book of John. And how I'm going to set this up as I flow this morning, I always like to use Jesus' time of transitioning us from the old covenant to the new. Then I like to see the new apostles who are in the new covenant that we're to live in. So you see it's reiterated what Jesus taught us as he transitioned us to this place. And here we are in John, or I'll get there in a second here. John chapter 11. And I'm not going to go through the whole story, but you know Mary and Martha saw Lazarus died and everything. And this is what, focusing on verse 25 and 6, it says, "And Jesus says to her," or to the sisters, "I am the resurrection and life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me shall never die. All right, everybody look at me before I go any further. The greatest gift we get is the gift of salvation. It's the gift we receive immediately when we make Jesus Christ the Lord of our lives. It's what Ephesians 2, 8, 9 says. We're saved by grace through faith, not works. Nobody can earn their salvation. But God's not done with just giving us this glorious thing, because he's created us in Christ Jesus for good what? The works are not to get to heaven. The works are something we're going to get when we get to heaven. And we receive some of that down here on earth. But I think most of the time, folks, we focus on what we're going to get here, and we don't focus on real life. Look at me. If I was to ask the teenagers that are sitting here, what do they think about a 30-year-old? They're going to say they're old. Pretty cool. 30-year-olds are saying, man, you're 50? Wow, you're over the hill. If you're in your 50s, you're looking at 70s. Whoa, my gosh, that'll be a miracle. And if you happen to be closer to the 80, you're wondering, how in the world did I ever get here? Now, let's bring it down home. Nobody in here can explain to me how great eternity is. But we do realize this gift of eternity is forever. So many times when I'm talking with someone that's going through a tough time, we'll use Ken, who just graduated and went on. He's in the hospital, and they finally let me go up to see him. And he says, Pastor, he was 75. He says, man, I've lived a good life. You know, if I get a miracle, I know you're going to pray for one. That's great. But if not, I'm ready to go spend eternity with my Lord. And I'm thinking, this guy caught it. Yes, he had this very challenging thing. But I was thinking, how many people in the body of Christ have caught it? They realize, you may think, if you're in your teens, you think you've lived forever. When I was in my teens, I think, oh my gosh, it took me forever to get to be 16. And I looked at, when I first started teaching in Hemlock, I was 21. And I looked at 28-year-olds as old. I thought, oh my gosh, I wonder how I'll operate at 28. Some of you are laughing because you realize it's time. Time is 0 to 100. I mean, if you make 100, my dad made her to 99. And I'm thinking, great, but eternity is forever. That's why it's so exciting that we realize the great gift, the great reward that you get at salvation is eternal life forever. And if you've had a loved one, and this is what I say, man, and I was telling Ken in the hospital. I said, we're going to pray for a miracle, but if you don't get one, there's coming a time when we're all going to be here together and we're going to laugh about these hard times. And I think we need to realize in reality, life on earth is short. And however amount of time, whether we're Rachel, your mother's with the glory, whether Lee, Morgan's, up celebrating with Jesus, whether Ken Tome is now celebrating with Jesus, Harold Bluer celebrating with Jesus, relatives that you know, moms and dads, are celebrating with Jesus. Why are they celebrating? To be absent from this body as a Christian is to be present with the Lord. And so that's an exciting thing. So no matter how hard it seems like we're going through and all the things that we're doing, but I want to talk to you. And let me just go on to John 14, because we are stubborn people. Now, maybe I'm going to believe that God's not stubborn. I know we're made in his image and likeness, but we have that flesh thing that's stubborn. We always want to try to understand, and sometimes we hurt others by trying to understand. Jesus knew this. That's why he taught so much about get out of your woe is me, and focus on what really matters. And he's coming again. This is later after he'd already ministered to Mary and Martha. And, of course, Lazarus got raised temporarily because he eventually died and went on to be with Jesus. Amen? 14 says this, chapter 14, don't let your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe in me, Jesus. In my Father's house are many dwelling places. Yours may say mansions. It says, if this were not so, I would have told you. Does God lie to us? He would have told us if there wasn't a place. And he says, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place, I will come again, receive you to myself, that where I am, you're going to be also. So, again, Jesus is trying to reiterate, he's getting close. He's going to go to the cross, and he wants them to remember this because the Holy Ghost is going to put them in remembrance of what he said. So look with me, if you would, to John. We'll go a little bit further. John chapter 17. See, even God's speaking to us this morning. Verse 24, thank you, heaven. And the Bible says this in 17:24, Father, this is Jesus speaking. I got the red letters. So if you don't have the red letters, you're missing out. These are actually Jesus speaking. I desire that the ones you give me, who you have given me, will be with me where I am, and they may behold my glory, for you have given them to me, for you love me before the foundation of the world. In other words, even before you were created, your mother knew you in your womb, Jesus wanted you with him. So he's laying it out. I want them with me, the ones that want to receive me. So the minute you make Jesus Christ your Lord, you say, Lord, I've sinned. I can't do it alone. Forgive me. He forgives you, and you're rewarded with eternity. And then he tries to get it across our dull thinking, because remember, faith just doesn't come by having heard something. Faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing. That's why we have services, and we call them graduation services, because after you have somebody going on, you got to hear it, you got to hear it. It's not the end. Right. For them, it's graduation, it's the beginning. Right. So, look at John, go back to Matthew chapter 6. I want to stay on this for a little bit more. Matthew 6, verse 20 says this. And again, we're talking about the greatest reward you get when you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Matthew 6, verse 20 says this. Lay up for yourself treasures in heaven, where neither moth nor rust destroys and where thieves do not break in and steal. In other words, Jesus is teaching, once you make me Lord, heaven is your place. Now you have an opportunity to have some other things when you get to heaven. Down here, it's going to rust. Never, you can't take, we've heard this before, you can't take a U-Haul to heaven. Amen? Amen? But there are things we do get to take. It's rewards we get because of what he's promised, because he knew he created us to look forward to rewards. Amen. And who knows all the packages you're going to open up, but I know it's his delight to give you the kingdom. And listen, for him teaching his disciples to pray, that his kingdom would come, his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. All he's saying in that, heaven's really good. And I love you enough, I want you to enjoy some of that down here on earth. Right. But don't take away from the big time. You're going to be with me forever in eternity. My mom and dad, I'm going to delight, but I was not sad, nor am I sad for somebody that graduates. My wife says, you got to watch it, because not everybody understands that. When someone passes, they get real grieved and so forth. It's okay. Because I know there's a time to mourn. Ecclesiastes says that. But I've never mourned when it comes to my loved ones that love Jesus, because I know, gosh, they get their young body, and they're there and basking with the Lord, and I'm going to be with them eventually. The Lord determines how long that's going to be. Isn't it exciting to think of things that really matter? We get so caught up in so much nonsense. Well, we got a war more our nation is doing. I'm telling you what, God sees all this, and we have a responsibility, no question. But I'm telling you, if you abdicate your role, he's going to rise and have somebody else pick up the slack. Because he's not slack concerning his promises. Amen? So look with me now as I jump over to Peter, 1 Peter chapter 4, and we're talking about this reward that everybody freely gets. You don't earn it. Freely gift. 1 Peter chapter 4. And I want chapter 1, verse 4. This is what Peter, remember the one that was crucified upside down, said. You get an inheritance of incorruptible and undefiled that does not fade away. It's reserved for you when you get where? To heaven. I'm telling you, some things that are happening now that you will take for granted are things that you're going to get rewarded for when you get to heaven. Look with me at Paul, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. Again, another favorite one of mine when I'm doing graduation services. And this is what Paul is trying to tell believers that already have received Jesus. They're Christians. It's the church at Corinth. And he says this in verse 1. For we know that when this earthly house, our body, our temple is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house that's not made with hands. It's eternal in the heavens. You've got something being built that you're going to in-house. And it goes on in verse 5. Now he who has prepared us for this very thing is Father God. And he guarantees us by giving us the Holy Spirit, capital S. The Holy Spirit is supposed to remind us. You've got a home in heaven and you've got a new body that's going to be created. That's going to be without pain, no sorrows, no crying. It's going to be good. So he goes on, he says this. So we are very confident. Are you confident this morning? Knowing that while we are at home in this body, we're absent from the Lord. Now, yes, we can get into his presence, but we're talking about he's at the right hand of the Father, and he's given us the Holy Ghost that will never leave us nor forsake us. But there's coming a time when Father God, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Ghost is going to be celebrating with us forever. So we are confident, well pleased, to be absent from this body. Verse 10 says this, for we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ. This is to Christians, folks. Well, you think, well, are we going to be judged? You're not going to be judged like what the world's going to be judged because you made Jesus Christ your Lord and he took it upon himself. You're free of that kind of judgment. What he's talking about now, that each one may receive the things that were done according to what they have done, whether it's good or bad. In other words, you got rewards coming and it's going to be based on not your eternal salvation. It's going to be based on what we've done here as we're living for the Lord Jesus Christ. Look with me, if you would, to Philippians chapter 1. Paul again, bunch of Christians in Philippi. He says this. Verse 21 says, for to me to live is Christ. If I die, it's gain. When's the last time you heard a Christian say that? I'm living now, that's for Christ, but if I die, ooh, it's gain for me. That tells you it's pretty significant. Was Paul pretty cool? He went through a lot, and he was cool. For if you live in the flesh, this means fruit from your labor, and I'm choosing. It says, I'm hard-pressed to make a decision to depart. I want to be with Christ. If I stay here, it will benefit others. Our mission should be the reason why I'm here is to be a blessing to others. Some of you that are raising your kids, you got responsibility. Train up your kids in the way they should go. Some of you that have raised all your kids, and you still try to raise them. Trust me. That don't always work. You do your best. And what I tell people, if they've gone whatever way, they're adults. They will learn, and sometimes the greatest teacher is the hard knocks of life. Amen? I tell Pastor Mike all the time when we get grown-ups that are acting like idiots. They're already saved. They're going to go to heaven. All we got to do is you can't change anybody but ourselves. So let's focus on ourselves. You can change yourself. You can't change others. You can live for others, but you can't change them. They have to make those decisions themselves. Chapter 3 of Philippians. And I'm looking now at verse 20. And it says this. For our citizenship is in heaven, from which we are eagerly waiting for our Savior, Jesus Christ. That would be a challenge. Are you eagerly waiting for your Savior, Jesus Christ? For it says, who will transform our body that it may be conformed to his glorious body according to the working by which he is able to subdue all things to himself. We have a home, and we've got a creative God that's going to cause our bodies to be perfectly made, that's going to house us for the rest of our lives. And it's going to be good. Go with me another scripture, 1 Thessalonians. Do you know how hard it is to get across to Christians sometimes truth? And we say, faith cometh by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. And sometimes we grow weary. And the Lord says, grow not weary in doing good. For we will reap in due season. Look at what now Paul is trying to straighten out a number of believers again. People that have passed and, oh, woe is me. Oh, this is terrible. And this is what he says in, in chapter 4, 1 Thessalonians verse 13. Now be kind in this. I do not want you to stay stupid. Oh, don't stay ignorant, believers, concerning those who have died, lest you sorrow as those that don't have hope. Again, he's trying to encourage them. What are you moaning and groaning about? They knew me and they knew Jesus and they went to be with him. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even God is going to bring with those that already died in Jesus. For this we say to you by the living word of God, that we that are alive and remain will be caught up together with those that have passed before us. And it says, for the Lord himself is going to descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, the trumpet of God. Those that have died in Christ are going to rise first. And we're talking about getting their resurrected body. Remember, he's going to give us that body. And it says, then we that are alive are going to remain and be caught up together. And we're going to meet him in the sky. And we're going to be with the Lord forever. And I like how this finishes. Verse 18. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. The body of Christ this morning. And if you've been going through whatever you've been going through, wherever you're tuning in today, you need to be comforted. Don't be ignorant. Don't be stupid. Jesus Christ is your Lord. Man, this time on earth, it's going pretty fast. How do we get to this place? I look at my life. I don't feel much different than I think I did when I was a teenager. But I know it's still not the same age as a teenager because it's going fast. And people strive, I got to stay young, I got to do this. You do what you can to stay healthy, but I'm telling you, there is a home in heaven, and it's not going to have any flaws in your body. And it's going to be a young one. It'll stay young for the rest of your lives. Amen? Jesus is going to wipe away all the tears. So, are we settled? Do we realize our greatest reward is salvation? That we get this when we make Jesus Christ our Lord. You don't earn it. You don't work and get good enough for it. You just acknowledge that you need a Savior. You yield that yucky part and say you're sorry and say, Lord, I need you to come into my life. And it says immediately you become a new creature in Christ Jesus. And then he gives you a ministry, a reconciliation, get people to him. Now, I want you to hear me very carefully. A lot of people think now when we're looking at the second phase of rewards that we get that are in heaven, that means we got to go out and sweat, man. We got to get behind a pulpit and preach. We got to, man, lead a bunch of people. Lord, absolutely not. And if you stay with me, I'll show you. Because the reward you get are just being a good person, doing things that are good for others. How many of us have criticized when someone says, well, you know, if you were to die today, do you know whether or not you'd go to heaven? And they say, I hope so. I'm not sure. I hope so. I've been a good person. And we almost criticize, well, good person, you're not going to heaven because you're a good person. You're not going to heaven because you're a good person, but you're registering rewards in heaven after you make Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Right. See, the good person part that you are and doing things for others gets registered as rewards that you get. Some of them you get down here, but I'm trying to set your eyes on a higher level of thinking, and that's eternal life, where God is storing this up. Now stay with me, because I'm going to go through where Jesus taught this. So rewards in heaven is the second set of rewards that we get as Christians. This is where Ephesians 2:10 says, you're created in Christ Jesus for good works. In other words, what we do that's good builds rewards up for heaven. And of course, we reap what we sow on earth. We understand that. But again, I want your eyes focused on eternity because everybody in here is not just 1 year old. You know, how did you get to where you're at? You don't know how long God's appointed all of us to have one death. Who knows when that's coming? But we do know this. We want to go with a smile on our face. Yes. And we want to be an encouragement and do good to those. That's why he says, do good to all. But especially do good to those of the house of what? Faith. Amen. Well, I'm going to go to Matthew chapter 5, and we're looking now at rewards that you're getting for being this good person to others. You know, there's a mandate we have here. We say we want to train up warriors to be a blessing to who? We used to have it on the wall, warriors ministering to others, because it takes your eyes off yourself and it gets it on others. And if it's on others, whatever you do for others, you reap it for yourself. Amen? So we're looking at Matthew chapter 5. And the Bible says this. I'm going to look at verse 12. 5:12 says this. And I'm jumping to the end of the blessings that God says that we acquire for heaven. Verse 12 says, rejoice and be exceedingly glad. I think we are doing that in worship today. For great is your reward in heaven. For so they were persecuted, prophets and believers, before you. In other words, he's ending this statement. Now, I'm going to go back to the Beatitudes because we think Beatitudes are just nice teachings. But the Beatitudes was an attitude that he was getting across to those that would be believers so that when he went to heaven, he realizes these types of things are good. Look with me now as we go back to verse 3. The Lord says, blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The only time your spirit is poor is before it makes who Lord? Jesus. Then you get a brand new one, and it comes alive in Christ. Amen? And you get the kingdom. Well, we know, seek ye first the kingdom. We know that comes automatically. But it also, folks, look at me. The kingdom is not just the kingdom on earth. It's the heavenly kingdom that's forever. It's not like, oh, I'm going to get it. Yeah, got to get the kingdom right now down here because I don't know how many more years I'll be able to live in it. Eternally, you live in the kingdom. It's not just an on-earth kingdom. Second, blessed are those who mourn, for they shall be comforted. Do you know? The Bible says when one mourns, we're all supposed to mourn. There is a significant part of being humble that when somebody is grieving, we share in that. Doesn't mean we got to get down and out. It just means we're looking to be a blessing to others. Blessed are the meek. Another word for meek would be humble. Meek is not weak. Meek is a yielding to other folks. For they shall inherit the earth. Now, what did the Lord say that we're going to come back to rule and reign where? That's a heavenly reward, folks. The next one, blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they shall be filled. Look at me, church. When you hunger and thirst for doing what's right, you're going to be filled. But it's not just on earth. It's filled forever. See, this infilling, and I know what John says, if you're hungry and thirsty, out of our belly flows rivers. This rivers that flow out are to help people for now, but it doesn't take away from our heavenly rewards. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. It's a quality that God wants us to exercise towards others, to be merciful. It's very easy when you're not going through things to put your finger and look down on those that are. No matter what they're going through, if they've got an addictive behavior, it's real good to feel self-righteous and if you just didn't do, you'd be great like me. That's not what it says here. It says we are to be merciful. Merciful doesn't mean that we can change them, but we can have compassion to be an encouragement for those that go through things. Amen? Let me just say this, and I don't want to dwell on this a lot. There are things I do not do because they're sin. There's things I don't do because I don't want to be a bad example to others. And my wife knows I'm always, and that is a healthy thing. It's not a bondage thing. So some of my say, look, pastor, he's conformed. The governor's guy, he's wearing a mask. No, I look out and I'm looking at the families and I'm looking at my seniors and I'm looking at those with pre-existing condition. And I have this heart that I do not want to be an example that's going to make people feel less if they want to wear a mask or they don't want to wear a mask. I told my wife, we talked through this. We are a free service. We are praying protection, and the prayers of the protection is covering us. But it doesn't take away of wanting to be a good example to others. And I'm not telling you to take on that mantle. It's like I choose not to drink. I've never drank since I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I don't need the counterfeit. Now, you can say, well, but Jesus turned water into wine. You can take your argument. I just know we have couples splitting and fighting all the time, and almost it can be traced back to booze, getting high. And let me just tell you this, but you can say, and not being meek, you can say, well, I could have a couple and it doesn't affect me just because my spouse gets hammered. And I would tell, and I've told some of my brothers and sisters, what kind of example is that for them? You can handle it and they can't. I get very challenged with people that will look down others for areas and they will do moderation. I'm telling you, if we really care, Paul says he chose not to do things, not because they were sin. He did not want to be a stumbling block to others. And our whole mission, if your heart is in this of humility and being a blessing to others, you're not looking for ways, well, I've got more faith than you. No, you get that humility and that meekness because I'm storing up heavenly rewards and I don't even want to be seen with something that could lead somebody astray. Now, you can say, well, that's not my walk. I know it's not. And I'm not going to try and change you. But that's the same thing. It's not an easy thing. I have to go through this all the time. My wife knows. We've been in a setting where they see booze, and they'll serve my orange juice in a glass that looks like it's a booze glass. I won't drink it. And they say, oh, come on. No, I don't want. What happens if somebody comes in? Oh, look at Coach Towns or look at Pastor, see? And you might say, but that doesn't keep you out of heaven. It doesn't. But there's something internally that drives me to be the best example I can for others. That's not something that's bondage, that's freedom. And that's the challenge that we're challenging you today. There are heavenly rewards by choosing to do things that are not going to be stumbling blocks to somebody else. Amen? This is not a preaching. If you like your social whatever, that's fine. I'm not saying that's between you and the Lord. But I'm telling you, your kids watch what they see more than what you tell them. You tell them what you want to tell them, but they're watching. And I'm telling you, you can track it. Most people that end up going into certain areas is because mommy or daddy did. Just a little side note, wasn't in my notes. But it is. It is okay to not think we've arrived, to operate. Blessed are the peacemakers, merciful. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they're going to see God. Forever we're going to see him. Blessed are those... who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Church, when you got up this morning and you determined to come to church, I'm going to get just right basic with you. When you came and you're determined to be a blessing to those that are going to be here, to say hi, to smile, those are rewards. You don't have to go win 16 people to the Lord. You just need to sow goodness into others, to be a blessing. You know, by you coming, you're telling others you care about them. That's a blessing. When you smile at somebody that needs a smile, when you're kind, don't get me going, because kindness produces serotonin, and you know that's a natural high. So the Lord knew that, so he's trying to encourage us to be kind to one another. For me, criticizing other churches or other Christians because of whatever, I'm not responsible for them. I'm responsible for us. So I want to sow mercy. I want to have a pure heart. I want to do not because I'm in bondage, but because it's the right thing to do. Right. To not lead anybody astray. And is anybody perfect? No, you're going to mess up. But isn't it better to mess up a few times than happen to mess up all the time? God's forgiven you once and for all on the cross. We're talking about now. Amen? So, we see this. Now, this is what David Johnson left that ministry has, ministry of Jesus. My wife says, honey, because I never normally share with her where I'm going because I don't want her to tell me she's not getting it, okay? So she says, she asked for a little bit, so I shared with her. She says, well, gosh, this might fit. Now listen to what this says, because I think this is all part of these rewards. Oftentimes, we underestimate the power of a touch, a smile, a kind word, a listening ear, an honest compliment, the smallest act of caring for somebody, all of which have the potential to turn a life around. That didn't sound too hard, did it? I think people, oh, if I got to go to China and win a section of China, well, if God's told you to do it, go. Be happy. But you don't have to strive. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're already going to heaven. Be kind. Look for an opportunity to be a blessing. And you can do that by baking some cookies for your neighbors or giving somebody a ride to church when they don't have a vehicle or sending them a card when you haven't seen them or giving them a call, missing you. That's not overwhelming. That's kindness. And God says it's earmarked and registered in heaven. But if you try to make this, well, I've got to prophesy to the nations and change things up, fine. But I'm going to enjoy my life. We've had prayer every day for I don't know how many years, but we choose it at a time because I'll be there if I'm here. Not because I'm tired of people telling me, oh, yeah, if you do it this time, we'll all be there. Nobody comes. We pray. You all can guarantee your name's going to go out and be prayed for because it's a time that we're here. And it's a kind thing to do. Do you know it's nice? I'm always astounded when, in fact, I won't go there. My wife and I got in a little thing about someone that just had arrived to start. We got to really get serious about prayer. I'm telling you, hopefully you're already serious about prayer. Prayer is a good thing. Prayer you can do from your home. You don't have to come to our prayer thing, but I'm telling you, those that come, what do? We pray for our nation. We pray for ministries that need support. We pray for all of you. And then we put special requests. That's being kind. Now, I'm not doing it because I get heavenly rewards, but I will get heavenly rewards. And so will you. You can do it from your home. You don't have to go out of your way. You don't even have to be discomforted. You can, in the comfort of your home, bake somebody some cookies, call, be kind, be nice, and you get heavenly rewards. Now, listen, church. If Jesus Christ is your Lord, you're going to heaven. I don't have to straighten out anything for you. You're already going to spend eternity with me. But if you want to bask in some of these rewards, then we have to learn how to be good. And being good means be kind, give a smile, have a word of encouragement. What's Pastor done during Christmas time? Meet your neighbors if you don't already and be nice to them. Give them a card, give them a little gift or whatever. Oh, well, they don't go to our church. It's not about who comes to your church. Everybody here is saved. Maybe not everybody in your neighborhood is. Maybe there are some that just like the kindness. Oh, I just love that family that's moved in. They're so nice. They're over here and they'll even shovel my walk or they'll mow my grass. I mean, gosh, that's what it's about, church. That's what's exciting. Amen. Christmas time, my wife and I we look for our neighbors, our especially close ones, and we get them something special. We just put little things. We just are so grateful to have you as neighbors. Now what's awkward for us, now they're starting to get us something. And this has been a few years. And you feel bad because we're not doing this so we get something. We do it because you feel good about being a blessing. I had a guy pull my driveway, a neighbor. You know, he's a little bit younger than me, and he's just waiting and waiting in his truck. And I thought, wonder what he needs. So I get out, hey, bro, what's up? And he says, I need to talk to you. I says, okay. He says, but you're busy, I know. I said, no, I'm not busy. I'm home now. So he didn't want to come to the house. He's sitting in the truck and for an hour. He had some heavy things he was dealing with and very churchy. He goes to church, but I says, well, you've really confided in me. And he says, I trust you with my whole heart. And I haven't spent a lot of time. You know, word travels when you're being a blessing in your neighborhood. And he settled some things and he was a blessing. This week I got a card in the mail just telling you how little things. This is from another young pastor. I say young because now if you're not in the 60s, you're young. It says, Pastor Weldon, you're a great source of encouragement to me personally. I so much appreciate your leadership for my life, your heart for the kingdom, your generous gifts that Shield of Faith has blessed us with. You're physically friendly at greetings, at meetings, and most of all, your faithfulness in prayer and blessings from God to me. I know that God is using you and he loves you because you've been a blessing to me and stay strong in the ministry that goes through you. And I don't be kind and nice to other pastors. I just understand that they don't have as good a flock as we have. And we've got a serious bunch of believers that love God. But so what the tendency is, church, come on. Now, this is a tendency. The enemy knows a house divided can't stand. So what it tries to do is get religious folks to get mad at other religious folks by telling them their work is not as good as our work. What does that accomplish? The goodness of God is what made us want to serve him, amen? Well, if that's his nature, the goodness of us to others is going to be a reason why they're going to want to serve God too. So we do have eternity, but we also got rewards that God is going to delight in giving to us. Now, I'm thinking next week, I was studying, there was so much, I got into the five major crowns you get when you get to heaven, and they're really cool. And there is, you can lose a little bit of the crown. You don't lose your salvation, but there are some things. If you choose not to do the good and you want to enter into the bad, you can do that. It's not going to keep you out of heaven, but it could keep you out of receiving as much when it comes to those rewards. Amen? So let me just give you some practical things in closing. Some thoughts I thought. Time together, when you come to church, Bible studies, family, encouraging others. Do you know how much of a blessing? I don't need to tell you, but you know how much of a blessing it is when people sacrificially get here to be a blessing to others. I try to visit, and I try to say hi. I had some woman that sent something to Mike and Pastor Mike and I and said, well, I'm not looking for a new church, but I love that church. And both the pastors were friendly to me. I'm thinking, that should be a given, I would think, but okay, all right. But you all are friendly to people that come. And they can't hide here. Time together is great. Inviting others over to your house or out to eat, make a way for them. We've got people here, and I'm not going to embarrass people, that cook meals for others. Invite them over. Or they prepare meals and send to them. Oh, my gosh. Those are acts of kindness. Those aren't their biological kids they're doing that for. It's their spiritual kids. That's a good thing. So hard to get people out of it. Oh, yeah, it's only biological. They're the ones. No, it should be your kids are my kids. That's why I love on your kids, because I see them as my kids. Yeah. Maybe it's easier because I don't have biological kids. I don't think it would be, because I think I'd probably be harder on them than I would be on my spiritual kids. Maybe not, but I know my wife. We probably both would be pretty hard. So thank you, Jesus.
I know your dog.
Yeah, you know my dogs, yeah. Praying regular for others, looking for ways to bless your neighbors and or your friends, volunteering to help. Let me brag on you a second. We had this service for Ken Tome, and Nancy's not here, so I'm going to be a little bit more liberty. Okay, they didn't know what to do. They couldn't believe this church was jumping to do whatever we could to help. Now remember, for those that know, some funeral homes weren't even having them, right? And then to have a meal, oh no, don't get together. Gatherings are just, it's almost like cancerous. They want to know what I thought. I says, we will prepare to be a blessing to you because we know this is not easy. So I asked my leadership and those that were volunteering. I says, Nancy wears a mask and she's dealing with not wanting her grandkids to now not have a grandma because grandpa's gone to be. So I asked him, I says, team, you're volunteering. We're going to cook the meals. We're going to buy the stuff. We're going to serve them with all our heart. I don't know most all these people that are coming. So would it be above too much to ask if we wear masks to meet people? And kind of like what I did today, you know, when I preach, of course, take it off and so forth. Not one person bucked the system. Not one person says, oh, that's bondage. I'm not going to do that. I'm free. Nobody. And do you know what that family, and it was filled. We probably had how many, 100 people here. They just said, what a beautiful flock you got. What they waited and they said, they didn't want to leave. I'm telling you, the meal was done and it was done and we're still hanging around and they just enjoyed being together. And I thought, what a flock. Volunteering to be a blessing to others and not trying to put their self on somebody else, but looking to uplift others. And out of that, we end up getting a whole nother family, and they say, oh my gosh, we just love. I've been looking for a church. And that wasn't our mission. Our mission was just to be a blessing, to see a need and help meet it. Isn't that what it's all about? I know we want, well, I want to be in the pulpit. I want to be this great man of God and just heal the nations. No. I want to equip warriors to realize they got the same Holy Ghost I got, and we can do the same miracles, and there isn't some super giant man or woman. That's called religion. And God is breaking that off the church. judgment has begun and shaking has come to the house of God. And we're realizing we need each other. We need every church that loves God and every believer. Yeah, some may be compromising. You're not going to change them, but love them to a point they're going to want to change. Because change is what God wants all of us. He changes not, but we're to do the changing. We had people in this congregation, when I called, we had people moving, had no way, or they weren't in physical condition to do it, that went, gave of their time, and helped, and then went back for another day and other days. That's your flock. It wasn't a reward. They weren't getting paid. It was something they were doing to be a blessing to others that couldn't do it themselves. That's registering rewards. I love our church because we got a lot of young folk, but I love our church because we got some older ones too. And you know, there's not an age in God's kingdom. He's the God I am. He's the God present tense. And that's how we got to see ourselves. Amen? And last, I'll live giving rides to others. And I know that numerous of you have given rides and you've helped people and you've baked things and you've done whatever. God bless you. When I went through this with my lip, to see my wife, because I'm not on Facebook sharing all these prayers that were going, I felt them, and I received them, and I thanked you. The old me would have been, no, not going to see any weakness on me. I got a man of faith. I'm just going to believe, and I won't have to go through anything. And then the Lord taught me, many are the afflictions of righteous men and women. He'll deliver me out of them all. But he uses your prayers and our prayers. Look around for a moment, church. Look around in your families that are viewing. These are brothers and sisters that you're going to spend eternity with. Well, yeah, some will grow up, but it's all right. Because once we all get there, we'll have to see who's the best-looking 30-year-old, you know. We'll all be beautiful and handsome and all that. Amen? Amen. So, got some rewards, but the main one you already got. And if you've not made Jesus Christ your Lord, you need to today because that's a great reward. You don't earn it, you receive it. You ask the Lord to forgive you of your past. You let him know you want him as Lord of your life. And you say, Jesus, I submit to you. I give my life to you. I believe you died for my sins. They were nailed to the cross, and I want you in my life. And the Bible says if you'll do that, he immediately comes in and you become a new creature. Then you got the heavenly rewards. And if you want to build on that, be good. Hook up someplace. Start being kind to others. Smile. Give somebody a hug. And God will reward you for that. Amen? Amen. Let's stand to our feet, church. Thank you, Lord. Father, we represent such a small group of believers in this valley. But we're a serious bunch. That's serious. And our love for you and our love for others. And I thank you, Holy Ghost, that we're not filled with bondage, but we're filled with freedom to be a blessing to those around us. You know who in this congregation, those that are listening, that need a special touch that only you can do. Right now, we hook up our prayer to pray for a touch in their bodies, a touch in their families. Some of them need a touch in their finances. We pray that in the name of Jesus. And we hook this up and thank you, Lord, for meeting those needs in Jesus' name. And all of us in agreement said, amen. Amen. Love on one another in whatever space you can. Amen. That's right. You'll be a 6,000.